Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV Podcast 500's After Show.
Yeah, 500. 500 episodes, Terry. 500. We've been doing this a long time. We've been doing a lot of this.
Yeah. I wanted to go out and do some digging around, and then I thought, I feel sick. I physically feel sick. Not that the idea makes me sick. I wonder if I'm sick in the head. And so just quickly, I captured, this is where I wish we had an intern or some really good note keeping, because there's a million cool things that could get pulled out of in 500 episodes plus after shows, a few clever and or mildly insightful or impactful things have been either said or done.
Do you think we have a best podcast? Like, is there one that sticks out to you in general, particularly that you think, like, either you're very proud of that particular podcast, or you think it was I don't want to say a high water mark, because our water doesn't get that high.
Nothing jumps out. And as funny as it is, people often ask me things like, somebody asked me this weekend, what's your favorite hole out there that you've filmed? When I get asked a lot of those questions, as much as I've been in the game, I don't have anything really predetermined or insightful. And so even in asking that similar question of like, there's a few that stand out, but I also feel like if there was someone that triggered a particular memory, then maybe I could extrapolate on it. But what I'll say to that, to answer your question, is a few that do stand out include having Paul Macbeth on, especially because I was in Australia, and I called in from Australia, but having Paul Macbeth on after the huge announcement to help discuss him going to Discraft, like he kind of gave us an exclusive, like, long form first insight to his switching to Discraft. Like, that was one of the more significant moves in our sports history in the last 10 years. And also one that I would have bet my house against at one point.
Yeah.
Just because I didn't think that was really going to happen, because to me and to a lot of diehard fans at the time, that sounded like Michael Jordan, you know, going to Reebok. Like, you just wouldn't have expected it if you're of a certain age. You just thought that allegiance and that sponsorship was seemingly permanent, like a Tiger ever breaking away from Nike. Like, most of us just never would have guessed that,
which he has now done too.
Exactly. That's my point. So that we had, I believe it was a Friday afternoon show where we exclusively came in on a Friday afternoon to have Paige Pierce talk about her new sponsorship contract.
Yep.
When she had left Prodigy to go to Dynamic.
Yes. I agree. I think that's one of our better podcasts. I would put the post Worlds Ricky interview.
That was my next one
from the hotel
right there.
I think that's a
Ricky,
phenomenal
Ricky
one.
Ricky Wysocki wins 2017 Worlds. His second world championship. No, 2016. No, 2016 was in Emporia. 2017 was in Augusta, or not Augusta.
It was Augusta.
Oh, but yeah. Okay. I'm thinking of 96 and 2006 were also Augusta. And then I was thinking, was it 2016? No, it wasn't, because I was in those other ones too. 2017, Ricky wins the second world championship. It finished on a Sunday. Awkwardly, right? Not a Saturday. That I'd have to go double check, but whatever day it finished on, that night, Ricky was staying at the same hotel we were.
A couple doors down from us, yeah.
Yeah, at a home two suites. And that just already opened the door for the idea of let's have a post-Worlds brought, not wait till Tuesday, but let's do it immediately. And Ricky was literally, like, I think between the two of us. And it was right in our hotel room to have him on that very night that he won the Worlds. And to have the trust from Rick, but then also I mean, we were there to do that kind of work, but to be in the right place with the right time, to have the trust, the manpower, and the capability, because there was no live broadcasting that year.
No, because the
Fort Gordon and the IDGC.
IDGC's cell signal was pretty mediocre at the time. In Fort Gordon, there were some spots that it was okay, challenges. But there was also logistical because it was Fort Gordon.
So to have him on, you know, literally hours after winning a world championship for an extended, very extended, but yet frank and open conversation. You know, we've had Dana on for probably a couple hundred episodes and all the insight that he's always given, and just having like a segment with Dana that was so regular was always so great. And we had Yuli on for a number of times, for essentially almost like a given Yuli segment. And then as maybe the board or others are saying, of course, anytime you have some of the likes of a Simon, like you just like a Steve, you know, it could get off the rails and it may or may not even be about disc golf. And we're going to have a damn good time.
Yeah. Call up Simon. Get him on the show right now.
Yeah, it's a good call. Simon,
he's probably just finishing up with darts.
Yeah. Or something like that. If you're out there, Simon, you know, we had Eagle on the night he turned 18.
Yeah, that's right.
Literally on his birthday. It just so happened that he was on our show as he turned 18. I don't know. If you go back and look at the 500 episodes, I mean, and there were a number of them for some that may be a little newer in like the 14, 15, 16 timeframe. Those were when Johnny and I had first experience going to the Glass Blown Open, the GBO. And we were actually setting up nightly and having a nightly show that we would have Simon or Philo or Eagle or whomever just sit down and talk with us, or whether they were the hot round of the day or just somebody that wanted to sit down and talk with us. And we were doing that at various locations around Emporia. We were doing it literally in the bar at Brickyard or Brick House.
Outside of the warehouse.
Outside of the warehouses during the party. The
Swedish bonfire.
Yeah, the Swedish bonfire. Thank you. I've done them from the county fairgrounds there. We did them from the Granada and the players meeting.
Yep.
Like, there's been so many of those on-site, in-person opportunities that have been a ton of fun as well. Just the amount of times that we've had so many fresh faces and or even established names that we can't take any credit for where they've gone in terms of their media career, but they were cutting their teeth, as were we, at some of these media opportunities. Rewind 10 years ago, you didn't get interviewed by a whole lot of people. Like, it just didn't, there weren't those. If you got interviewed, it was likely maybe someone like Rick Rothstein from the PDGA calling you to get a few quotes from you to put in a magazine that came out a few months later. We didn't have PDGA radio. Disc Golf Answer Man was not of this anywhere near the format of which we were.
No, it was a different format.
Just that. They were answering.
There were like three podcasts. It was like Disc Golf Zen, Disc Golf Answer Man, and us at the time.
It was just a totally different landscape. Yeah. What we have now are 50 different disc golf podcasts with all sorts of incredible people doing unbelievably awesome things. It was a different world with way less it was a less crowded space. And I don't even mean that in a good or bad way. It just, there weren't a lot of other things going on. So it was, yeah, it was a totally different world, and it was a lot of, it was crazy. Yeah. Somebody says one of the first episodes I watched live had Madison Walker and Big Germ, and it was like a game show. Yeah. We
battle box.
We dabbled in, especially during COVID, and we didn't have a lot of disc golf to talk about. We then dabbled in more of the game show style. We also did, some end of the year type stuff. Yeah. We've had a lot of different ideas and things that we've pursued to varying levels. Mm-hmm. And just, I'll say for the 100th time, one of the episodes that sticks out, or one of the examples that sticks out for me, is how you shouldn't take us too serious, and how you know we're not just hardcore about disc golf, and like a lot of other disc golf podcasts want to get to the nuts and bolts. We had Madison Walker doing owl calls on one of our shows. And right there, that should discredit so much of our perceived, yeah, any perceived uppityness or anything of that nature. Like, another way, and this may land some better than some than others, I always like to think we're like the Ellen of podcasts. Now, that was before like all the all the controversial work environment.
You should see how Terry treats me off camera. Yeah, guys.
Exactly. Before all of that, Ellen was known on her show as very fun loving, dancing, and just this silly show, this afternoon daytime show that had some serious conversation and a whole lot of dicking off. Like, if we're just putting it out, there's just a lot of goofing around. That's how I'd like to think our show is. Some people also will say they feel like our show is a couple of guys sitting around and like you're around a campfire and just having a conversation about disc golf. And I kind of like that we're conversationalist, mm-hmm, in that capacity.
And I think there are other podcasts that are probably better suited for things like, you know, if a player comes on and they want to talk, you know, why did you make the decision on hole 17 to go for it here and this and that? Like, that's great. And yes, sometimes we do ask those questions. But like you said, I would so much rather hear about Madison Walker's owl calls. I want to hear about Luke Humphreys and his stone collecting. I want to hear, those are the things that I want to hear about, because I think it, as we've always said, it humanizes players a little bit more. It's great to talk about the winner and, you know, all the work they've put in and why they'd made some of the decisions they had to. Were they feeling pressure? You know, I would so much rather, you know, again, there's a dozen podcasts these days that all ask similar type questions, and we do as well. I'm not going to say that we don't, but you know, to find out a player does parkour or like, what was their first job? I think we used to ask that once in a while, like, hey, what was the first job you ever had? And what was the weirdest thing you ever saw doing that job? Those are the questions. Those are the results that I want to focus on continuing even after 500 here. That type of interview, a much more relaxed, much more personalized interview.
Yeah. And that's not to say that we don't care. Obviously we care about the professional scene. We care about 100 different initiatives that are going on with disc golf, mm-hmm, but at the same time, we don't want to take it too serious to the point where it is going to feel like it's dry, or that we're about the, 'cause quite honestly, we're not still in disc golf because we care about own Scoggins 92% C1X putting, and like, we're harping on that. We'll mention it and talk about it and praise it, but that's not why we're diehard disc golf fans still. It's because we're family like, it's because we have this longevity and we want to continue to see where things push to. Just the evolution of the game in the 10 years that we've been around doing the podcast alone has been insane. So I don't know. I don't know if I really even had a point to all that, but we're here for it. Some love it. I will never forget shortly after the very first episode, which was still only an hour and something,
Our first episodes were actually realistic times.
Yeah. It was funny. At that point, this was before what the world tour even existed. UC Maresma and I had a brief conversation about the podcast and, or a Facebook exchange or something. It was some communication. And one of the things he wrote in there and said, something along the lines of like, it's good, but I think it's too long. And I was just like, yeah, I mean, it was long. Mm-hmm. We've heard that. Obviously we've embraced it and we haven't changed anything. And that still deters some people from being involved. And that's totally fine too. I mean, look at Steve Dodge, the exact opposite. He's literally giving you a daily podcast that's 10 minutes or less.
Yep.
I fully encourage you to get all of your news and information and resources that way. If you're looking for the quick hitting, like nuts and bolts, specifics, and then with his editorials on Fridays, but he's going to give you everything you need right there. And I love that too. Like that's going to fit some lifestyles. And I think it's going to continue to be really successful. To each their own. So thank you. Thank you. And thank you.
You should have told me about that UC thing. We'd have shortened up these podcasts a lot.
Yeah, we definitely would have.
Well, the funny thing is we've seen a lot of other podcasts go towards this length. You know, our regular show started at 8. It went to, this was a longer one, so it went to about, what, 10:15, 10:20-ish or so. So a little over 2 hours. We see a lot of other podcasts now either record and do like we do, break them up into multiple days, or they'll do two recordings a week and kind of spread out their content. We just have always, it just makes more sense for us to sit down, get it all out of our brain, put it all on tape, and be done. And that's just how we've always come at it.
Dan Harbeck also has been a smashy from day one. And we very much, yeah. Dan Harbeck's one of the few guys that goes back almost the full 30 years, well yeah. before we were podcasters, before we played professionally. We even knew Dan when we were legitimate amateurs. And Dan, we appreciate you very much. Thank you for being out there. Scott Pittner has been around for a long time. We see him on the board. He knew us well before we were doing this. And Tom says, you guys seem to remember that we are all just friends throwing plastic in a field. And I very much agree with that sentiment. So yep. A couple other things. As I was just looking at the basics to pull from YouTube tonight. First episode, as we said, was November 11th, 2014. 100th episode was July 19th, 2016. So about 2 years later, as you'd expect, 200th episode was June 18th, 2018. So 2 years later, 300th episode, again, 2 years later, June 2nd,
cut short in its prime,
400th episode, April 26th, 2022. So, yeah, pretty crazy. Shoot. Where'd it go? I ran one other number. Oh, so what that equals out to 490 weeks ago is when we started this to be at episode 500.
Okay. Yeah. As we said, I know we haven't missed many weeks, but we have done a few extras. Like you had said, like the GBO ones tend to
thing. Yeah. Well, you'd get like three in 1 week or four in correct. In 1 week. And then occasionally if Christmas falls on a Tuesday, we may or may not have done one at all that week, or we would ultimately do one on a Wednesday or a Monday or something of that nature. But when it was all said and done, the day we started was 490 weeks ago. And here we are at the 500th episode. So averaging one miss every other year.
That ain't too bad.
one miss a year.
But one miss a year.
490 out of 500. Yeah, averaging about one.
There's always some holiday that falls on a Tuesday, damn it.
Yeah, I know. If we could just change all those.
Ray says he got his night job October 2013 and have been kept company every Tuesday night since we started. Ray's been around.
That's another way to look at it. Yeah, Nick was out there doing... Nick, did you start the disc golf show? I feel like you maybe... had started a few weeks prior to us. And then prior you guys,
or after?
I think either way. And then I know you guys took a little hiatus. Now you guys are back as well. So, and just think about all the podcasts that have come. Some have come and gone, and some have come and not gone. But yeah, it's been, yep. it's been a long time. What I think would be funny, if you want to do it.
Oh, geez.
On our 100th episode.
Okay.
Back in 2016, Matthew James reached out to a number of people and they graciously put together, he graciously put together a little video. And in doing so, these 100 people basically wished, or not these 100 people, sorry, these people wished us a congratulations on the 100th. I think you should play that because it essentially opened our show. And if you could play this for the world, I think, I don't know. Again, we're stepping back into a little nostalgia. It was a different world just 8 years ago at our 100th. But if you've got it queued up, can you play this? Can you give them volume?
I think I can. Let's see here.
Here we go.
All right, we're going to see if this...
It's coming.
It is. The first few... Clearly, we were great with the dead air in the beginning.
Yeah, I love this.
Hey guys, Bobby Cool Daddy Slicker is here.
And Eric Emac McCabe here. Just want to wish Johnny V, Terry Miller, Dana Vichy, and everybody over at Smashbox a happy 100th episode.
God, where are they
Can't
now?
Can't wait until the next time we get to step inside the Smashbox.
Hey Terry and Johnny, just want to congratulate you on 100 episodes of Stepping Inside the Smashbox. Thank you for all you do behind the scenes to help grow this addiction that we know and love as disc golf. And thank you for your friendship over the many years. Here's to 100 more.
Congrats on number 100. Thanks for letting us be a part of it.
We love you. Thanks for all the late night talks. Here's to many more.
Hey, Terry and Johnny V, Manny here. Happy 100th episode of Smashbox from myself at Soul Crusher. Keep up the great work and hope to see at least 100 more episodes. Peace.
Happy 100th podcast, Terry Miller. And
Johnny V.
And Johnny V. Yeah, way to go, guys. You guys were big fans of yours, of course, and so is everybody else. So congratulations, guys. Keep it going.
Yeah, we're watching you.
All right, bye.
Hi, I'm Mike Downs, the events manager for the Professional Disc Golf Association. Terry and Johnny, I just want to congratulate you on 100 episodes of Smashbox TV. We can't wait to see what the next, what the future holds for Smashbox and for disc golf. We thank you for promoting the great sport of disc golf and for bringing us the most up-to-date news and information about this wonderful sport of ours. So thanks for 100 episodes, and we can't wait to see the next 100. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Terry and Johnny B. Doug Bjerkus here. Congratulations on 100 episodes. Really want to thank you for all the work you do specifically with women's disc golf, the support and the promotion you've lent to the Rocky Mountain Women's Disc Golf Championships over the years has been outstanding, and keep up the great work. See you at Worlds.
Hello, everyone. Team Jenkins here. We want to congratulate you on your 100th episode.
And thank you guys for your continued support and dedication to disc golfers everywhere.
Yeah, and thanks for letting us cheer on our kids when we're not there.
Cheers to another 100.
Cheer 100. Cheers.
I want to give a shout out to Terry T-Dog Miller here from Estonia. I want to wish you a happy birthday, buddy. Thanks for all you do for the sport. And thanks for making me a better public speaker. I went from a 900 to a 980. Still not perfect. Can't wait to get on your level. Saki bomb. Guy. Out.
What's up, Terry? Johnny, Joe, Gary, all those guys. Media Marty here. As you can see, I'm at the airport. I'm really not sure where I am anymore, what day it is, what month it is. But I am sure I appreciate your guys' show. And, oh, look, you're getting video bombed. But I got to get on an airplane. I'm going to, like, Liechtenstein or Switzerland or something. I look forward to another 100, and I'll see you guys at Pro Worlds. Later, guys. Thanks for everything.
Happy 100th, Terry Miller.
And you too, Johnny. Keep up the great work. You guys don't suck.
You heard it here first.
Terry, Johnny, thanks for ruining Tuesday nights for the last, I don't know, almost 2 years.
Meh.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to Smashbox TV.
Wow, we dressed up that weekend.
Yeah, we did.
If I'd have known that, maybe I would have dressed up as well for episode 500. Oh, I'll wait for the 10-year. Maybe I'll.
Yeah, so nonetheless, pretty cool. Thank you. That was Matt James that actually solicited those. I think I go on to talk about it as that episode continued, saying I was hoping. I think I ran into people at Am Worlds in Madison a few weeks earlier to that episode or around that time. And I was trying to get people to say something. Apparently Matt had just gone out and was similarly soliciting things ahead of me. I had no idea. And he was soliciting actual, all of those that you saw. We had no idea that those were coming at the time. And then he put together the video and sent it on to us. So some early, very early supporters, and fans and pillars in the disc golf community that you saw and heard from there.
Yeah, Doug Bjerkus, what's that guy doing these days?
I know. Where's he even at?
I do think it's funny that a lot of them, and obviously for specific reasons, say, you know, I can't wait to see the next 100. Well, what about the next 400?
Yeah, well, like I said, maybe even a little dated in the sense, but I came across that today. I thought that was pretty crazy to see. And thank you again to all of them that had done so. And who would have guessed that, yeah, like you said. And then even when we, you know, recap and got to the 200 mark and the 300 mark, the first few minutes of each of those shows was kind of funny. I wish I would have been able to put something together today, but they're all out there. I'll put them out in one easy to find spot, as I already found the links earlier today and was looking at the dates. Kind of crazy.
Kind of crazy.
All right. Let's recap of anything on the board's new episode of Suits. Yeah. Baby Sake Bomb. I think he was confused about the message. It wasn't my birthday. But nonetheless, he played along and I think he even said coming from Estonia, to put that out for us. So we really appreciate that. Very much so. Yeah, Rick's had some time on our show, as a lot of our top performers have throughout the years. And I think one of the other fun things that I've really loved is that we, yes, of course, the kind of the obvious go-to, seemingly obvious go-to person week after week is someone that just won the previous weekend. I don't want that to officially define us either. We've had so many promoters and enthusiasts and ambassadors and movers and shakers, some of which will never win a tournament or hardly even play in tournaments, that are so crucial to our game in so many various ways, that getting insight and acknowledgement of them and either spreading their story or sharing the news, or the times we've shown a video of somebody proposing to somebody on a tee pad, or whatever the case might be, all the other like fun additional stories that have gone into people participating in our show in any other capacity. I think of course designers. I think of people like Christy Fountain, who you know is this pillar within the Texas and women's community, and having people like her on to share her story. And then that was what, a year or two ago. And then to have her as a main component heading into this year's USWDGC, or as Doug Bjerkus, you know, momentarily mentioned about the Rocky Mountain Women's, and being able to shed light on some of these events that aren't just our elite series and our pro tours and our majors. Those are all the obvious, you know, low hanging fruit that we want to, of course, talk about, but there's so much more that we've been able to, for lack of a better term, exploit in a good way, hopefully, that, that's some of my most proud moments when reflecting on the show, is having those types of conversations with people you may not know, but you should know something about. And I hope we can continue to dive into those conversations as well. They may not garner as many views at the time, but that's not really the main point for us. It's to get the information out there that we can as best as we can. So, and then there's still the after show, which, you know, does or doesn't involve disc golf on any given day. So, reading off the board, I think we started the disc golf show in June of 2013. Nick says, I think, love seeing you guys provide weekly content since you started. Yes. And as I said, the disc golf show, I believe, is up and running again.
Yeah, it's good to see.
Webb Warren, I know you've been along with us for a long time as well. Webb, like so many others, also makes it so much more fulfilling for myself, only because I'm out there more, but as well as Johnny, when we do go out into the wild and then he see and hear some of the people that have been following along, the Smashbox journey is also a lot of fun. And I feel like every person we talk to in person has a story about an episode or a guest that they particularly learn something or love something about. And they'll often conjure up those memories of, oh, when you had so-and-so on.
I really became a fan of that person.
Exactly. Or, yeah. And that's every time I hear that, I always think, wow, like job accomplished, right? In that sense, or check that one off the list for that week. If somebody became a fan or just got to know somebody else a little bit better, or maybe they were on the fence about somebody and then they said, well, you know, I got to know them more and, you know, I didn't really care for their take on something, but at least I learned it or whatever. To me, that's also been pretty exciting. I Heart Disc Golf said, no Dana to celebrate. I didn't know exactly who and how it was going to go down tonight. And with my not feeling great, I was really uncertain. I think having Dana on next week.
And to be clear, I didn't give you the cold that I had last week. No. You got it somewhere else.
No, I think there's some allergies that played into account and some long days and nights in Texas and Florida. But yeah, so Dana and I did just have a talk in the last day or two, but hopefully we'll have him on here soon as well. Do you have any regrets about it, about the Smashbox story to this point? Is that what it says?
Do you have any regrets about the Smashbox story? There's always things that you wish had gone slightly different, maybe. I mean, as far as the podcast goes, no. Like the podcast itself, not at all. The Smashbox story, there's an alternate, I know it sounds silly, but I think there's an alternate universe where we're still running the live show. Where maybe we had, and I've said this before, that the way you and I handle business is different than the Pro Tour. The Pro Tour came in and formalized a lot of things. They went heavily into, I don't want to say heavily into debt, but they did spend a lot of money in order to get the broadcast to where it was. That's money we never would have had. So play pretend that Smashbox is still in charge of the live broadcast. I think it would be bigger than it was when we left, but nowhere near the professional and level that it probably is now with the guys that travel and having Mo do, you know, the producing and a drone and things like that. Like, I think that we would have, that there is a different scenario and a different path that could have been taken. Is it a regret? No, it's just different. I think it would be awesome to say, you know, because I think about it sometimes, I'm like, what would it look like if we were still running? And I truly believe, I'm like, all right, Terry would probably either be on site or in the booth. I feel like, to me, one of my favorite people was Robert McCall. Like, having Robert, I think Robert would have like been in the booth.
Sure.
We would have found a way to make him like a full-time employee, because I always loved the way Robert, his perspective and just in general, his professionalism and his voice. He was always way better than you, Terry.
Yeah.
So
I was just going to say,
so, I mean, honestly, but yeah. I think that's it. Is I don't think I have any regrets. I think disc golf is in a better place with the way that things had gone, but it'd be interesting to see how things would have changed.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that people easily forget is, and this is not a scapegoat, but this easily forget, is neither of us being trained or even untrained journalistic / media professionals. Like, a lot of this has been
trial by fire.
That's trial good. By fire too. Yeah. Is that's a phrase? Yes. Too, right?
Yeah, it is, Terry.
Yeah. Okay. See how good I am?
Yeah, you're a journalist.
I'm so good with words.
You have a communications major.
No words. Yeah, I gotta. Yeah. So, but just that, and so when I heard the word, when I heard the word regret a moment ago, I thought about the ways that challenging or delicate situations have come up on the show or conversation pieces. Is there another way that certain things could have been responded to or referenced or alluded to, discussed, challenged? Maybe. Because clearly we're not perfect here either. And we don't ever claim to be. But, and even if we were trained journalists, I'm not sure that things necessarily would have went that much better. There's obviously been some frustrations. There's been animosity. There's been differing opinions either between us and or between or we agree and viewers disagree, whatever the case might be. There's been some of those scenarios throughout the years. Do I regret or wish some things would have went a little differently? Not necessarily, but they do come to mind. And those have all been part of the learning process as well, right? Like, everything can't go 100% your way 100% of the time, because then really, how are you challenged or what are you learning? Yeah, it's kind of funny to reflect on a few of those moments. And it's also crazy to think how easy they are to forget in a good way, because largely the positives have outweighed the negatives. And that's how I think you have to look at most facets of a job or your life. Because if you sit and dwell on a mistake, or, you know, whether it was, you know, intentional or unintentional, you dwell on a mistake or a mishap or a miscue, what good is that going to do you? You have to move on. And there's been a couple times where we've, you know, fully accepted either blame or responsibility for something. And those have all been tough lessons, but at the same time, it's all been part of the journey when it's said and done. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it was weird when you went off on religion like that. It was so...
and it's been kind of crazy, because I have always been on that fence of, like, I said it earlier, like, don't take us too serious. We're not trying to be too serious. But then sometimes we happen to cover serious topics and serious things, because that's where the disc golf landscape had us. It's funny that sometimes that weight is, you like gladly walk around with it on your shoulders, and sometimes somebody else just throws it on you like a, you know, big heavy weighted down blanket, and you're just trying to move about your day. Those have all been part of the process. I think it's almost undervalued how difficult some of that positioning can be. You know, it's easy to play armchair quarterback to, you know, a lot of scenarios and a lot of things that get said and done, but live in the moment, unedited. Yeah. Sometimes stupid things get said.
Oh yeah. And
usually by Johnny.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it's all part of it. So
listen, I'm just, you know, I'm just here giving my hot takes, my hot cakes.
Yeah,
I like hot cakes, yeah,
hot cakes,
but You can't keep this down. You can't keep this down.
No, his will always bubble to the surface. Yeah. I mean, for God's sakes, and I don't need to give a lecture on any of that. You just look at Steve Dodge's life of trying new things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, warmly accepted with open arms, and sometimes bashed and memes are made. And then, you know, at the end of the day, he's going to come out, in my opinion, like the hero he's always been. And it just took a little longer for some to realize it.
Yeah.
Even when he did fire us live on our show one time. So
that's just one time. He's fired us one time. It's not like he's fired us. He learned from his mistake.
We've had 500 shows, only been fired once by him. So, yeah, he's running a good ratio right now, as the kids say.
That's right.
So anyway.
Yeah, Ray was talking about how back in the day when we were able to do the live broadcasts, and it was such a simple process with more or less just one or two cameras that we could chat on the YouTube stream as well. And that doesn't happen as much. And it was great because a lot of that stuff, the feedback that we would get live would help the show.
Yeah.
And I know Tom asked earlier in the broadcast, like, what piece of tech in general has helped the live streaming the most over the last 10 years. And I think hands down, it's vMix, the application that we use to actually do the switching here on the show, which is why I learned it. Which is why we ended up going to the podcast for it, but it was the best. It's probably the best prosumer switching software that's out there without going to like a huge, like Grass Valley, one of these giant, you know, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 machines that are all that are hosted. We've pushed some boundaries with some of the tech that we've had for better and worse. You know, we've tried some things. You know, I remember when we first started, we were using a program called Wirecast, which was only Mac based. And it was Mac based because I had a Mac at the time. And eventually I just decided, I was like, we can't do it. It's OBS wasn't good enough. We needed something with replay. Like, I remember we were able to get like one replay channel. Now the Pro Tour has, each system has 8 replay channels and they've got multiple replay operators.
Yeah,
which is crazy, and it's exciting to be part of what we have been part of.
The I Heart Disc Golf says we need the DGPT satellite truck like the NFL.
I mean, there are things that satellite trucks are good for. I don't necessarily know if disc golf is one of them. Just right now, I think we're many years away from needing some sort of on-site truck that can have a whole crew lay down a bunch of wire like they do at the NFL games, like they do at a lot of live broadcasts.
Along those lines, I was just thinking, anyone, not that I would highly recommend this, but if anyone paid really close attention to every detail of tech that you primarily have shared and some insights from me, if anyone's paid 100% attention to all of those details over the last 10 years, there's at least 100 mistakes you could then easily avoid. Yeah. Because we sometimes, for good, for better or worse, have shared a lot of the struggles and a lot of the challenges that have come our way. And this includes the Disc Golf Pro Tour's broadcasting. And we've been relatively an open book about those things. And obviously that's because Johnny has been one of the main guys in charge for many of those years, was the exclusive primary, you know, tech guy to do all of those things. But just thinking back, if somebody's like, man, I wish there was a guide or a book on things to do or not to do in doing live streaming, a lot of those questions or bullet points could have been laid out if somebody was actually taking notes all these years, because we've effed up plenty of things.
Number one, have enough batteries for an entire round.
Yeah, of your cameras and of your battery streaming packs,
because
and any microphones you might have, any walkie-talkies you might have for your actual phone.
Yeah.
Like, you need batteries for all of those things because that's what helps you run the show.
Yeah, it's
right off the bat.
It was just funny. I just recall, obviously, our first events having to more or less cut them short because we didn't know where this was going. We weren't going to invest that much money into batteries and such when we didn't know if we were going to do 1 month of live broadcasting and never touch it again, or if it was going to become something bigger. And so we didn't make a lot of investment in those first couple broadcasts where it's like, oh, cool. Well, we've got a battery charging over there. Well, this one's running that, you know, batteries only charge so fast. They tend to discharge faster than they charge. And just rolling with that. And
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
yeah, it's getting, being able to cover the DDOs that we did, GBOs actually at the time, the worlds, getting cover worlds.
Yeah, to think that
someone trusted us to cover a world championships at some eventually.
Yeah, 2016. Yeah, we had exclusively run the live feed for the world championships, which is a little bit silly to think about all these years later, as to, especially with the limited capabilities, but those were still the cutting edge capabilities. And the only practical solution was us at that time back in 2016. To answer a few things off the board, somebody says, at least Nate gives you free beer, right? Assuming you're talking Nate Doss and assuming you're talking the times I go out to Bend. Yes, unfortunately, their style of beverages don't typically align with what my favorites are, but they are more than kind and gracious in giving those, offering up beverages when I'm out there at Bevel. Ray then asks, do you guys know if the DGPT ownership group, like Rainwater, are interested in growing DGN to be big enough to sell at a profit?
I think that might be a long-term plan, but we're talking like 20, 25 years maybe before I will say Todd Rainwater maybe looks at that and says, I don't need to do this anymore. You know, he's still young. He's still a young enough man where he's got a long time, and I don't think he necessarily wants to sell anytime soon. So if I were to take some speculative guesses, the Pro Tour looks to, you know, finally start to actually have a year in the black. And I think at that point, everybody's just happy that it's in the black and not in the red. But I don't think Todd has any interest in selling anytime soon. I think
if he does, we don't know.
Yeah, if he does, we don't know.
Kingsley Flat, one of my favorites of all the years, coming in from Australia, says 500 not out. Congratulations on a great inning, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you, Kinga. Brad says, is technology advancing to the point where hardwiring won't be necessary, or will that always cause a lag?
I think we're a ways away from wireless being as good as hardwire. I don't know if we'll ever technically be there, because having a hard wire is always just that much better. But as far as lag goes, I mean, it's, I think we're a ways away from that yet.
Yeah, and to be fair though, any hardwire versus wireless right now isn't necessarily what's causing our significant lag, in the sense that even if we had something hardwired, depending on what piece of the puzzle it is, that wouldn't necessarily give us less lag, right? Like, I understand we have wireless right now to shoot the signal, da, 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 da. But even when we're doing that, if there's some other component within the pipeline that's slow, that may need to get fixed, where the being wired or wireless isn't even the issue.
Correct.
Just let's just say everything's wired. If we still have six different control room people in six different states or countries, like, that's where there's still going to always be some form minor lag to some degree anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, commentator lag.
Can we reduce the lag with more hardwired stuff? Certainly.
Of course.
But there's always going to be some form of lag to some degree, regardless of how good it is. I think that's my guess anyway.
I think it was Ray. I have to scroll back up, but just more or less asking, where do you see Smashbox in 5 to 10 years now?
True.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't see Smashbox as much different. I always kind of want to do a podcast like this, where it is a little bit more relaxed. It's just Terry and I, or whomever maybe is showing up, a guest talking about disc golf. Hopefully, obviously, we're still relevant, where guests want to join the show. We haven't said anything too stupid. I mean, that's always a possibility. I don't see Smashbox changing too much itself. I would love to maybe expand, maybe like into another podcast at some point, but that obviously requires more effort and time. Would it be great if we had some sort of intern that could do some of the work? Maybe. cut up social media clips and put them out. Of course, that's always an ideal situation as opposed to maybe Terry or I having to do that. I don't see Smashbox changing that much over the next few years, unless something dramatic happens.
Yeah. What I would say to follow that up is we should just make, now that we're at 500, I think we're established. Let's just make an official call out that if you're in the, if you have, you are of the capabilities and the desire to do something to create and break up some of our long form stuff into various clips, we're here for it. Reach out if that's something that interests you. If you think, you know, finding these individual clips so that we can then post them and actually make use of our Twitter account, make use of the Instagram account, things of that nature, where we can continue to generate more media buzz and take our, it's not like we don't have the content. If we give you 3 hours, there's at least 5 30-second clips in there that are worth posting elsewhere. It's just a matter of the actual manpower to do so. And if that's, if you fit that description and or have that interest, let's have a conversation about it. I'll help lead that charge, because let's face it, that's going to be the easiest way for us to continue to spread the word about our podcast. It's a huge missed opportunity that we haven't been taking, kind of like show notes, kind of like other things that
I remember when I did show notes.
Yeah. And or when we, I used to be a little more diligent, a lot more diligent on timestamps throughout an individual show. Those are all things that need to happen. And we're to the point where we need to just pay somebody to do it.
So, and I also have kind of a philosophy that that might be something that can be taken care of with AI in the next couple of years, where you upload your,
who's AI? I don't know.
Al. It's actually Al, but oh, it's, yeah, like, that you upload that thing and maybe it gives you five or 10 clips that you then get to choose. Like, oh, here's, you know, what we've considered maybe interesting clips that you may want to post on social media. And then you'll have things like that. I don't think we're that far away from that particularly. But we'll see. I mean, I don't know.
Ray says they got to make a compilation of Terry's internet guy hot takes voice.
Yeah, Ray was all about that. That's some, you know, maybe we'll be able to dig that up.
Yeah. Well, I just, even in a night like tonight, it's frustrating for myself to not have really any idea if you did say, someone said, the best we can do is go to a YouTube search right now and type in a name, hoping that we put the name either in the description and or in the actual title, to go search for a conversation with someone about something. We just have very little reference or record of that in any searchable memories capacity. And it's only going to get more difficult as we move into the next 500 shows. So stuff like that needs to start happening. I think they call that metadata.
Metadata. Is that a transformer?
No. I mean, if Zuckerberg is just Zuckerberg sounds like a transformer name, doesn't it?
No, Zuckerberg to me, it sounds like grape jelly.
Zuckerberg,
like, oh, can you get the Zuckerberg out of the cabinet? I need to put some grape jelly on my sandwich.
Okay. Yeah, including making thumbnails. That's funny. Somebody says, did you make your thumbnail? I don't know which one's on there right now. YouTube generates one on its own if I go back and then put up a new one. Yeah, we clearly just need the little red arrow with some clickbait. Maybe we need to do that.
The red arrow?
Yeah, like tons of different channels put a little red arrow and say, oh, you know, you won't believe what the president said. And then they have a red arrow pointing to the president.
I thought you were supposed to have pictures of your face, like all agape.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like the red arrow pointing to the president. And then the clickbait title has to be, you won't believe, or the president's dumbest thing or whatever. You won't believe what this CEO said.
Just every week back and forth. You won't believe what Terry said. You won't believe what Johnny said.
That's a good call. People are be Terry's like, dumbest take yet. And then every week, just go back and forth. That seems like that's exactly what we should be doing.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I've said it before. I'm going to do everything in my damnedest to not feed into that culture. I don't care how successful it is for millions of channels on hundreds of platforms. Mm-hmm. That's just, it's just not who I am or who we are. If we have legitimately like a really hot, wild, crazy take and it is like earth shattering or groundbreaking. Yeah. I don't mind leading, you know, with the lead of the story or whatever, you know, but just to put something in there, just hoping you'll click on it. It's just not our style. And it's by tens of thousands of channels every single day. We get it. Just not feeding into it. All right. I don't know if the world doesn't have anything else. We can wrap it up.
We should probably give away
giveaways.
Something, Terry Miller.
Yeah, we do.
Let's see here. I'm just right now. I'm just finalizing the download.
Well, you do that. Here. I was going to take a look and see if I had any other notes. I mentioned earlier in the show, Valerie Mondahano celebrating a birthday. These are people that just happen to fall on today. So they get the mentions. Drew Gibson celebrating his, I think, 28th birthday specifically I saw today. And then Steve Hill, who used to work for what, Alta World, then PDGA, and now UDisc, Steve Hill celebrating a birthday, and he's been on the show a couple times.
Happy birthday,
funny,
Steve.
All three of those people have all been on our show at one time or another, so happy birthday to all of them. And anyone else celebrating a birthday from last Wednesday all the way through next Monday, happy birthday. Hadley Stewart, I think I posted a picture of him and I out there. We saw each other in Texas. Great to see him. And also wanted to get a shout out in there. You know, we've talked about live streaming. We've talked about, you know, influence and things throughout all these years. A gentleman who was inducted. Holy
shit. Wow, Nikes. Terry.
That's why I paused, because he even sounded stupid. Yeah, I was trying to mesh introduced
and inducted
together. So
whoa,
you're inducted.
Terry Miller.
Gentlemen,
it sounds like a Madden thing. Like, I mean, I know I'm introducting.
I know, that's why I paused. I'm like, what word did I just say? That's, I'm glad I got it all figured out. You got to hear it live on air.
It's a new word.
Somebody inducted into the Hall of Fame last year, but also helped introduce live disc golf was a gentleman who celebrated his birthday yesterday. I'm talking about John Duesler. So happy birthday to John Duesler, him, Terry Roddy, a couple of guys that were ahead of Johnny and I in bringing live disc golf to the world. Many of you, if you're old school enough, also then know and recognize Disc Golf Planet TV.
Lifetime member.
Where Johnny and I are not only lifetime members, but also were staunch volunteers and supporters. And John Duesler, April 1st, yesterday, I sent him a message, and he was also inducted into the Hall of Fame last year, the World Disc Golf Hall of Fame. So wanted to say happy birthday to him as well. Dan says, T-Dog, too much cough syrup?
Okay, maybe.
Not enough.
I've got a hot take.
Oh, geez.
It's not even that hot. The Disc Golf Pro Tour, their scoring page.
Again, yeah.
Not as good as PDGA's.
Okay.
I don't like, it's almost too colorful.
Well, I'm sure at the bottom. Well, maybe not yet. Somewhere there might be a dark mode. The PDGA offers that.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a throw tracker mode.
Like, oh, okay, like I think the regular scoreboard is good, but when you
feeding into everyone else whining about that,
Are has other people?
No, I'm just saying in general.
I don't know. I was just like, but when you two things. One, when you twirl down into a player so you can see their details, there's two things that really bother me. It's just a little too colorful. I know you don't often say that, but second of all, The letters inside the circles aren't perfectly centered, and it bothers me, and I don't know. It's like they're just a hair too low.
Oh, I was going to say this one's too right.
Like, yeah. It's like just, I want them to be, I want to look at them and I want them to be perfectly centered.
You whiny little bitch. Shut up.
Other than that, I think it's good. I just prefer the PDGAs right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I just that's my hot take for the night.
That's pretty hot.
It's scalding, Terry. A scalding take. Yeah.
Wow. AB had 3 OBs on this final round.
Yeah, he did.
So he went from 16 under to 8 under?
Yeah, he did.
Spoiler alert, I didn't watch any of it. I was filming.
I watched.
Lots of other stuff.
I watched Terry Miller. More the FPO than the MPO, to be honest.
Okay.
All right. So, patreon.com/smashboxtv. If you want to help support us, we've been doing this for 500 episodes. I think we've had Patreon for like 400 of them. I don't know. It's been a while. Because I think it was 2017 when we kicked on Patreon.
Was that late?
I think it was.
Interesting.
I think it was. And you can be eligible for our giveaway if you go to patreon.com/smashboxtv. Terry, we're at different levels, you get different support. At $1, you get... I'm listening to someone open up doors behind us right now. Probably my wife.
Maybe not.
It might be someone other than my wife. I don't know. No, at $1, obviously, you get entered into our weekly giveaway. For $2, you get your name put on the credits. For $3, you get our yearly disc. For $5, you get to be part of our studio audience, which is the set of minis right to Terry's right over there.
Hi, everyone.
Yep, they're sitting there. They're up on the wall there. It's funny. We have friends that come in and they're like, why do you have all these? And it's just like, it's a thing. Just, you know, these are our best and biggest and brightest supporters.
Yeah, and they don't talk back.
They don't talk back. Yeah, you wouldn't believe how many times I come down here and yell at Graham. So, no. But tonight we have 100 and... Oops. Oh, that signed me out. We'll go to a different... We'll get it here at some point.
Whoa, I guess you will.
Oh, there it is. It was a different browser window open up. 131 people eligible for our giveaway tonight, Terry Miller. How do you want to give this away? I haven't sorted by first name.
Well, I think we missed last week.
Yep, we have to do two this week.
So we're doing two, as you said. Yeah, let's just go 1-2.
1-2.
Very first person we draw.
Not 500?
No.
Okay, good.
First person we draw wins something. The second person we draw wins something as well.
Our very first number is number 122. Number 122, and that is... Scroll up just a little bit, because I was already at the bottom. Tige Spain. T-Y-G-E, Spain. Congratulations, Tige Spain. That's not a name I've heard referenced for a while, so if at all...
Nice. I like it.
I'm very happy that we're giving something away. I'm going to mark that one just so I have it. And let's go ahead and we will take care of the other one. Our very next drawing is number. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
I hit the number and it gave me the same number.
Wow.
Now, we do have a rule that says you can't win twice in one night. Although, Tig, you might be the luckiest man alive tonight. So I'm going to hit this generate button again.
Now, if you get it a third time.
Then there's a problem. No, number 88.
All right.
Number 88. I'm glad that was on camera. That was amazing. At a 1 in 131 chance. That happening.
Hmm.
Number 88. So 88, I'm going to open up 88, and that is Parker Mason. Congratulations, yeah. Parker Mason.
And I feel like lately we're getting a lot of fresh new names.
That's great.
Which is awesome. Spreading the love around.
We are. So Parker Mason and Tig Spain, you will be getting Smashbox fun stuff that Terry will send out. I'll send your information to Terry and he'll reach out to make sure that we have your address and whatnot. And we'll make sure that that gets delivered to you. Yeah. Someone says rigged. Same guy.
Yeah, man.
I wish it was rigged. I wish I could have planned that, but no, we don't let you win twice in a night.
I like it. All right. I am ready to take some NyQuil.
Yeah, you should take some right before you drive home. I've got some here in the house. Just chug it, and I'll send you on the road, Ter.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a great plan.
Hopefully I can get stuck in traffic like I did on the way here, which was very out of the ordinary. Usually doesn't happen. But yeah. I-43, Like,
well, it, the weather is a little miserable, so maybe that was contributing some stuff. There was talk of us getting some inches of snow.
Yeah, we're expected to get anywhere from 3 to 6 inches over by my house.
Yeah, but now over here in the Milwaukee area, it's a little bit warmer by the lake, and so I think we were only supposed to get like an inch to an inch and a half of like mixed, more or less just slush and crap. So.
Nonetheless, it ain't what it was in Florida a few days ago or Texas a week ago. That's for sure. So be safe. Be well. Enjoy your action. If you're watching the whatever the PDGA and the rest of the crew are putting out for the Collegiate Nationals this weekend, best of luck to all the competitors, all 20. It's 22,000, 7 million of them. Best of luck to all of them. It has grown into this massive, massive major that it is, and another testament to where disc golf has grown, especially in the last 10 years since we started this thing. The fact that we're seeing so many competitors and teams and everything heading down to compete at this event is awesome. So good luck. If you're a golfer that's taking a weekend off because you're on the road traveling, be safe, get some rest. Everybody needs it because we know Jonesboro and then a major is 2 weeks later. So be safe. Thank you for the 100 millionth time to all of our supporters. We love our Patreon supporters the most. You guys know that because we're bribed. We're cheap a-holes like that. We can be bribed. But we do appreciate, seriously, each and every one of you, especially our Super Chat members here tonight as well. You guys are incredible. And whether it's to another 100 or another 500 or another 1,500, whatever the case might be, we're so glad that you guys are with us each and every week. With that, 500's in the books, including the after show for Johnny V. I'm the Disc Golf Guy. We'll see you next week when you step inside the Smashbox.